today. The title of it is called Peace of Mind, and this one developed in kind of a strange way. About 2 weeks ago, it was on a Thursday, and I was driving on I-75 between Knoxville and Chattanooga, and I received a phone call from Mr. Kellers. And he said that he had just got a call to go speak in North Carolina and ask if I would like to take his turn in Bowling Green. And, of course, I said yes. Also on that Sabbath, it was my turn to lead singing here. And so I called Andy Luck and also sent him an email, and he said, sure, I'll take your place. And today, I was supposed to return the favor, but I had to speak. So I want to thank Andy Luck for doing an impromptu song leading. He's always willing to serve, so I certainly appreciate that. Anyway, so I said, sure, I will take your place in Bowling Green to Mr. Kellers. And then I called Pat, and I wanted to let her know where we were going. And she says, well, you know, this is Thursday. What are you going to do for a sermon? Well, I had a couple in the hopper that I had already completed. When I do my Bible study, I usually turn those into sermons. Plus, I had another one that was about three-fourths finished that I could finish up. And then I said to Pat on the phone, I says, well, you know, if not, God will provide. Well, he provided another one. And a few minutes after I talked with Pat, I got another phone call as I was traveling. It was from our company's location in London, Kentucky. And it was very, very sad news. I was told that one of our longtime employees had committed suicide. And it was quite a shock, you know, for someone to that you know or thought you knew to commit suicide. It was such a tragic thing. Not only the shock of it, he was only about 48 years old. Worst part is that he has a wife and six children. And I think the youngest one that he has is 6 years old. So, you know, this was really a traumatic thing as I was driving there and thinking about this. And so the sermon was developing along the way. He worked for our company for about 20 years. Everybody liked him. So I called and asked some of the guys that worked, you know, directly with him there in London, you know, why would David do something like this to himself? Why would it come to this? And they informed me of things that I didn't know. They said that he and his wife had maxed out several credit cards, and their house was about to be foreclosed on. He and his wife were not getting along for about the last year. They were always arguing. There was always a battle going on. And that he had a feeling that he had failed to provide enough for his family. You know, maxing out credit cards and, you know, and living all the different wrong ways like that, you know, was a lot of pressure on him. He wasn't alone in this. They said that his wife was quite the spender. And, you know, she saw something, she put it on the credit card. But anyway, all these pressures was just, you know, too much for this man. He was a very mild-mannered man, very easy to talk with. He was always willing to help and, you know, do all the dirty jobs for the company. But on Wednesday night of that week, he and his wife got into another argument, and he decided to end it all. How sad. How sad. You know, and I've heard it said, and you have too, that most divorces are caused by money problems. It's a heavy instant stress on a person when there are money problems. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know who to pay first or try to pay first or how to provide. But anyway, throughout the whole case here, there's left a woman with six little kids to find a way in this hard, harsh life. And, you know, if you think about it, committing suicide is really a cowardly way out. You know, instead of taking the bull by the horns and say, look, you know, we're going to have to straighten this out. And if we have to live with family or whatever we have to do, we're going to work this out. But we're going to stop digging the hole. Stop getting in deeper. So it was kind of a selfish way on his way. His name was David. Selfish way on his part of getting out of the troubles. But they had got into that final argument, and I guess things just came to a head there, and how sad it was. Well, after hearing this, I knew I could not give the other sermons. They were totally different, of course, and I thought this story about David and his family is probably something that a lot of people need to hear right now. You know, on the radio, we hear Dave Ramsey saying, there's a saying that he says that has a lot of meaning on this. He says, if you live like no one else, then you can live like no one else. And, you know, of course, he is speaking about money. He's speaking about working hard, paying cash for things, not going into debt, not taking on that stress load of owing somebody. And he says you will have financial peace of mind. And that is true. When you take on any kind of debt at all, even on a credit card or whatever it is, you have that automatic stress in the back of your mind that you're going to have to pay it off, and you're wondering if you're going to make it to the end of the payments to get it done, especially in this day and age when jobs are hard to find, hard to keep. And the government is broke and everybody else is broke. A lot of things that are happening. But those of us in God's church should take this saying that Dave Ramsey says and take it one step further. You know, if we live like no one else, you know, no one else is the rest of the world, living the way that they live, we don't want to live their way. We want to live opposite. We want to live obeying God. If we live like no one else, then obeying God, we can live like no one else, not just today in this physical life, but also in the world tomorrow, and truly have peace of mind both now and then. And that was the problem there with David and his family. They had no peace of mind. They were stressed out to the max, broke. And he took his life throughout this process. But we find that real peace of mind is a blessing that can only come from God. And it's delivered to us through God's Holy Spirit. And with all that is happening in the church, there are stresses on the church, on each of us individually, plus the outside world as well. So we need to have some peace of mind. And we need to have that to see us through all these troubles, just like the song that we sing, you know, God will see us through. But we have to depend on Him, and we can receive that peace of mind if we do so. But if we are not close to God, as we should be, and not seeking His will, you know, that seems to be the problem not only in the outside world and with each of us individually, but also with the church. A lot of people tend to forget God's will. We think about our own will, but we tend to forget what does God's will really mean to us and how we should react to it. When we pray to God sometimes, it's all about me, 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 me. And we should be asking, what is God's will in this situation? We can say, oh, I want this and I want that. But if it's not God's will, we're not going to have it, and we shouldn't have it. But there's a good chance, if we're not seeking God's will, if we're not staying as close to God as we should, there's a good chance that God is not even hearing our prayers. A very good chance of that. And God will allow stress to come upon us because He wants to make a point with us. He wants us to learn a lesson. He wants to put pressure on us to allow us to say, hey, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm not thinking clearly. Maybe this is not God's will. Let's turn, if you will, over to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, We'll read verses 1 and 2. I'm hearing pages. All right, great. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. We have that confidence that God has the power. His hand is not too short to save us. Not too short, but we have to reach out and we have to ask Him to come to us and to save us because we need Him. But we have that confidence that His hand is not shortened to not save us, nor His ear heavy. We have that confidence that He doesn't get tired, that He is willing to listen if we are willing to have the right attitude as we make our prayers to God. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. And so what are iniquities? Well, the meaning of iniquities is living in gross injustice or just flat out living in wickedness. If you're not seeking God's will, you're seeking your own will, there's a good chance that Satan and his demons will be working on you and you will be working in wickedness if you're not careful. But that's what has separated us from God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. If we keep on sinning and not repenting daily as we should. And why should we repent daily? Because not one of us are perfect. Not one. That's why we need God's Holy Spirit in us, because there are none of us that are perfect, and that would be the only thing in us that would be perfect. You know, some people say, well, you know, before I do this or before I do that, before I get baptized or whatever, I have to become perfect. No, you don't. We are all imperfect, and we need God's Holy Spirit so that we can strive to have that type of character to be perfect. But we won't be perfect until we are changed. Something we all need to think about and to work on as well. If our sins are not repented of, God will let each one of us take on the world by ourselves. Now, how scary is that? To take on the world on our own. That's exactly what happened to David, my co-worker up there in London, Kentucky. He was taking on the world, putting it all on his own shoulders, all doing it all by himself, and it crushed in on him. He had nowhere to turn, could do nothing, took his own life. But God will allow you to take on the whole world if you choose to, if we don't repent of our sins. Let's turn over to John 15. I've cut out a bunch of this sermon on account of the time here, but we will get the gist of it, that's for sure. John 15, let's start with verse 5. Jesus is speaking here, and this is something that we read at the Passover. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. None of us are smart enough to do anything at all. We must have God living in us through the power of His Holy Spirit, because we can do nothing. We can't even make right decisions at all on our own. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, shrinks down to nothing. He dies. And they gather them and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. Talk about a big cremation. It sure is. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What a wonderful deal that is. If we abide in Jesus and His words abides in us and we are obedient and we're doing His will, He says we can ask what we desire and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full, that we may be happy in this life, that we may be able to have the things that we need and the things that we desire. If we are doing it right, we can have that peace of mind. Verse 10, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're in this life together. We are brothers and sisters, and we need to be thinking that way. From the ministry all the way down to each one of us, need to show that love for each and every one, because we are brothers and sisters in God's family. And once again, as Jesus said, we can do nothing on our own. And the wisdom that we know, of man is just foolishness. We really can't think straight at all unless we have God's Holy Spirit. Can't make right decisions in this physical life at all. We will get into trouble, just as my friend David did. It can happen to each one of us, and Satan is laughing all the way. Satan has the power to sift any one of us anytime he wants to if we are not close to God. We all need God's Holy Spirit living in us. And once again, because none of us is perfect at all and won't be until we are changed. And the process of overcoming and changing, being converted to have the character of God is what the process is, and the learning that we are being taught right now. And for those of us that are baptized, we have had hands laid on us from one of God's ministers. We received God's Holy Spirit. God said that he would send us a comforter, and what a wonderful comforter it is. He will guide us and protect us. He will build a hedge around us if we're doing things right. He will protect us from making wrong decisions, saying something stupid, doing something stupid. We need God's Holy Spirit in us to guide us and direct us in every facet of our lives. And speaking of laying on of hands, we have had several, to come into our church, and they came in from various other denominations, and they are still a little confused about the laying on of hands at baptism. I may have said this before, but let's turn to it again, Acts 19, because I feel that's very, very important. Acts 19. You may have known of people that are in this situation. Acts 19, and let's read verses 1 through 6. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." They knew nothing about it. And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance." Repentance of your sins. You go down in the water, you come back up, you are washed clean. Saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with different languages and prophesied. So, that was the part that was left out. They didn't know about the Holy Spirit. And is what happened here is that Paul laid hands on them. They were rebaptized and hands laid on them the proper way. Now, there are some, like I said, that come into our church from other denominations that say, "Well, I was baptized when I was 6 years old." They really knew nothing about really why they were being baptized or what it was all about, and definitely didn't have hands laid on them for that purpose. So we need to have that clear. With God's Holy Spirit living in us, we can live very happy and productive lives and truly have peace of mind. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 8:31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we all know at any baptism that Mr. Keller conducts, he reads that every time. And what a strong statement it is if you think about it. If God is for us, who can be against us? If we're doing everything that we should be doing and seeking God's will and being obedient to Him, He will build that hedge of protection around us. Satan will go to and fro, and he will come up and say, you know, hey, just let me squeeze him a little bit. Let me just do something to him, and he'll turn his back on you. And God knows what we can stand and what we can't stand in our process of conversion. And He will protect us from Satan and his demons from jumping on us and destroying us. What are some of the things then that God's Holy Spirit is doing for us? And there are many. We're only going to name a couple here, but there are many. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, let's read verses 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. What divides us and separates us from God? It is sin. He paid the price for our sins, for each and every one of us. But there are conditions. We have to accept that. We have to believe that He paid the price for us. And then the conditions are that we are to strive to not sin anymore and to repent daily, because we are not perfect. We are not perfect at all. Let's drop down to verse 17 through 22. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, the family of God, being a member of. How wonderful that is. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. We are being changed, we're being built, we're being refined, we are being developed to accept God's Spirit to live in us, the one that created the universe, the one that is all-powerful, the one that knows everything and does everything for us, who created us. We are making a place for Him to live in us. And we can be in His family. What a wonderful blessing to be called to that and to know this truth. God has very, very special plans for us. We're not called just to save our own skin. He has very, very special plans for us, not just in this physical life. They're in this physical life, that reason why He's calling us to do some things as well, too. But also in the world tomorrow. We don't know what He has planned for us, but it's going to be fantastic. It is going to be so wonderful that it's more than what our brains can even comprehend. But He is preparing us that we can be in His family and be working and doing things with Him. God's Spirit also helps us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, He is our example. He lived without sin. He is our example that we are learning our conversion from and through. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, see, am I in the first one? No, I'm sorry, it's 2 Peter. I was reading 1 Peter. 2 Peter 3, I was wrong. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, being diligent, not half-hearted, but being diligent to be found by him in peace. Now, how can we be found in peace? By doing things correctly, by being obedient, by doing things right. God will grant us peace of mind that we all desperately need. We are to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. That process that we're going through is teaching us how to be obedient so we can have peace of mind. We don't have to worry. We don't have to look over our shoulders. Let's drop down to verse 17 through 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He is our example. He is the pattern that we need to follow. He is the one that was sent here to make it all possible for us in the first place. And we are to live by the fruits of God's Spirit. And again, we don't have to turn there. The fruits of God's Spirit is really our foundation, you know, as we grow. And this foundation is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You don't have to turn there. But it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can have self-control if we are abiding in these other traits as well. And be able to do what is right. Be able to love one another, which seems to be a real hard thing for a lot of people in and out of the church to do today. God's Holy Spirit gives us these character traits so that we can be like him. It is our foundation that we need to grow from with these character traits that we have found here. God's Spirit gives us God's peace, gentleness, and a willingness to yield to the needs of others. You know, a lot of us think of ourselves, well, I need this, and Joe Blow can get his own. You know, wrong way of thinking. We see a brother in need. It's sinful for us, if we can do it, to take care of him and to help out. And we have to have this in mind. We need to love others as ourselves in doing that. And it takes our mind off of ourselves. God's Holy Spirit can do that so that we can have the ability to love others. It fills us with God's mercy. Let's turn over to James 3. Turn back to James 3. James 3. Let's read verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Not very many. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Have a humble attitude in the meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That kind of an attitude is the wrong attitude that can grow roots in your brain. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Satan takes that as a green light. Satan takes that as a green light. If you have that sort of an attitude, put you into confusion and you'll bounce like a pinball machine in your brain, and every evil thought will be there because he'll put it there for sure. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. We must have peace of mind, and we do this with depending on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that he died for us, and God the Father, who is guiding and directing us as well through the power of his Holy Spirit. Peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, not saying, well, oh yeah, love you, Lord, and I'm going to do your will, and let's just talk. You'd be a hypocrite. Really have to have it in your heart. Have it in your heart. Have these rooted in your brain that you live your life automatically by living by God's word. Verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who want to cause division, want to cause strife, want to cause any kind of trouble, those are the ones that you want to stay away from. We want to have peace of mind, and we need to come in peace to everyone that we meet and talk with. God's Holy Spirit makes us recognizable to Christ. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. What is that seal? That seal is God's Holy Spirit. When you are baptized and hands laid on you, you are sealed with his Holy Spirit. The Lord knows that those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Get away from sin. Get away from lawless living. If you claim to have Christ in you and to be living by God's words, we're to be doing that. And God will recognize who you are. That's like we have heard Mr. Vernish, you know, talk about the foolish virgins letting their oil run out, their Holy Spirit run out. In the end, you know, Christ says, you know, I never knew you. Well, God can recognize each one of us if we have his Holy Spirit in us, and if we are being diligent to maintain our that way of life. And to work on ourselves daily, to repent daily, and to do what is right. We need God's Holy Spirit in us constantly. Otherwise, we can't do it at all. And Christ will not recognize us if we don't have his Spirit in us. That's why it is so important to have God's Holy Spirit in us. I cut out a bunch of the sermon, and we're about right on time anyway. So in closing, there are many other things, as we all know, and we each can make a list of all of the things that God's Holy Spirit does for us. And we know peace of mind comes from God, our Heavenly Father. And we also know all the trials and the problems and the troubles of this world, of the jobs that that people are out of, the jobs that they're in, the world troubles around the world that we hear on the news every day about governments going broke, states going broke, everybody is doing things wrong. You hear about our government, you know, when they go to pass a bill, they add it up with what they call so much pork projects that the bill itself is distorted, and you don't even know what they are even voting for. They don't even read it because they make it over 2,000 and 3,000 pages long the night before you're supposed to vote on it. You know, there's all kinds of stresses in that job, that is for sure. But we know all the troubles of this world, and without God's Holy Spirit living in us, just think how horrible it would even be for us, the called out ones, the ones that God has called and is working with. What a horrible life that would be without God's Holy Spirit. Without God's help, this world can destroy any of us. Satan doesn't have to work too hard to sift any of us. If we're not doing things right, God will allow us to go ahead and take on the world by ourselves. And Satan will jump right in there and put the heavy stress on you and can break any one of us. We need to stay very, very close to God in our prayers, not just for ourselves, but for each other, because we are to love one another and to have that peace of mind as well. But just as my friend David, who had all these stresses to come upon him, maxing out credit cards and not getting along with his wife as well, and they were fighting back and forth. It still ends up at the end of the day, after he committed suicide, that he has a wife and six children that are going to have a tough row to hoe in this troubled life that we're in right now. Each one of us know how and where to find peace of mind. And we find that through the power of God's Holy Spirit living in us and doing what we should be doing. And we can live without stress and truly have peace of mind.